And we're talking with Alex Ansari, who's done extensive work on solar cycles and how it affects all of us. We're going to take calls with Alex when we come back as well, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We're with Alex Ansari. We will get to your calls in just a second. Alex, we have been championing trying to fix our power grid against a huge X-flare or EMP attack that could render our power grid useless. You've looked at that too.
Yeah, that's where I started looking at it. And actually, as a child, I imagined around the age of 5 or 6 the idea of a red sky. Many others have as well. A super solar flare is also what people refer to it. So this has been something in my imagination for a while. I guess their latest estimate is $10 trillion in damage. They estimate 90% of the population could be decimated.
Yes.
Most of the population is living in dense population centers. These are going to be the areas that are most at risk. Anywhere where there's going to be an issue where people are cut off from resources is going to be bad. And so Joel Skousen's Strategic Relocation is a decent book. I've also looked at Stan Deo's book, talked to him about 10 years ago.
Yeah,
also
Bill,
Matthew Stein, the late Matthew Stein, wrote a great book, When Technology Fails. So those are the people that I would refer to for survival information. When I talk about survival, though, I'll add in psychology, you know, the things that I'm talking about, picking safe areas. I was actually emailed by the Doomsday Preppers 7 years ago, and they want to know, like, how many things I had, food-wise, weapons. And I said, yeah, I put my faith in the Creator. Ultimately, I want to do good deeds. That's my go-to preparedness plan. Yeah, they weren't interested in that. And so, you know, when people think about prepping and stuff and they see the stuff on TV, they only present like one side of it. They don't necessarily present like the side of someone just trying to get away from the grid to get deeper into nature, into spirituality. It's all pretty much presented one way. So I think that people should start deprogramming, getting away from addiction to certain things like their devices. Nobody's perfect, but if we're going to deal with a massive event, it's better to start already being the mindset that this is possible, that it possibly could happen. Because if people are going to be in, like, firm denial, not in my lifetime, well, then, yeah, how is a person like that going to be prepared? And so there is balance between being prepared and then going overboard. I don't recommend that. I'll also say really briefly that there is something called catastrophobia that seems to happen to us, where people in the peak of the solar cycle, we tend to freak out more and think that everything is crashing down.
Is that because of the cycle?
Absolutely. So we have a Y2K catastrophobia cycle. I'm coining this. There's a number of things that I've coined that are not other studies, but it's my own idea. 2012 was also that. And so I noticed people that I knew at the time that were selling survival goods, whether they knew how to work the cycle or not, I just noticed there was a cycle to selling a lot of stuff. And, you know, it's an influence over the business cycles of survival goods.
And Alex, before we go to calls, tell me your thoughts more on the global powers manipulating world affairs during these cycles.
So I believe that there is, just like people talk about a hypothetical room where JFK is shown to world leaders, presidents, to keep them in line. Well, I believe there's a room too, but it's more or less a room that shows humanity up on monitors with our emotional attributes being shown, monitored. I don't think the powers that be are necessarily just human. So, you know, this is complementary to a lot of information and theories about something parasitting on us. And so it does seem that we as humans are high-energy beings, especially when the solar flares kick off. Like, we're emitting some sort of a light. And so I believe that we are manipulated from on high, from the unseen realms, to go in certain directions that unfortunately lead us to our souls being bound to this world. So if people could be led by the nefarious forces that be globally, even beyond government, to do evil things, it's about entrapment. But let's step back and just look at the governments and leave the more esoteric side. There just seems to be a method to the madness with certain events happening on the timeline. Testosterone is higher in the body during peaks and geomagnetic storms. So let's say this is an agenda to get a bunch of people into a war. You know, the idea is the launching of certain things that appeared in which physiologically they're already ready for combat. And so there's not a lot of studies yet on the testosterone in, but that's the likely culprit with regards to the increase in violence. Also changes in the brain. The pineal gland, the melatonin levels in the brain also go through dramatic changes as well.
And they're aware of this, so they know how to use this.
Yeah, that's the point. That's the point, long story short. We can look at Alexander Chizevsky's work and realize that, I'll mention a few things briefly. After his research and his death and whatnot, where did that research go? So I'm going to mention this briefly because it was disclosed, declassified 2 years ago, that the U.S. and the USSR ran high-altitude tests from 1958 to 1962, where they were toying with the geomagnetic field. And so they were already manipulating the geomagnetic field through these explosions and other things. And so this is like new information that's just come out.
Maybe that's what HARP's all about.
And I think so. I think that HARP does not necessarily act alone. For example, let me mention two events, Fukushima and Katrina. HARP is suspected with both of those events, but both those events saw an X-class solar flare in the days prior. And so I think if HARP was used or other technologies, they're actually harnessing the power of the sun, the natural energy that's already there. And one more brief little new headline. This is from the last month. Now NASA is saying that something else is affecting the geomagnetic field other than the sun. They are calling it HR9024. And they picked up on a CME produced 450 light years from Earth.
Wow.
So not to overcomplicate things, but we know now that there is man-made influence tampering with the geomagnetic field. We have 5G. And then we have these other stars getting in our business other than the sun.
We can't win. Let's take some calls for you. Let's start with Bill, truck driving in the state of Washington. Hey, Bill, go ahead.
Hey, George. Hey, Alex. All right. Hey, I have a healthy skepticism, but an honest respect for what you're doing. The reason why I'm a little skeptical is because I believe climate change, man-induced climate change, is a fact. But I don't think one is exclusive from the other. Like, for instance, solar output does not negate climate change or human-caused climate change, and vice versa. They don't negate each other. I think they both can be going simultaneously. But my question is this. Have you ever looked at, like, a historical correlation? Like, for instance, Akhenaten. Akhenaten means, you know, the sun, you know, a worshiper of the sun. All right, and there's been others, like Louis XIV in France, the Sun King. Have you ever tried to correlate a historical, you know, comparison between sun worship, you know, the increase in sun worship around the world, and the increase in volatility, social volatility? And the other thing is, the other question I have is this massive dark spot on the sun that was discovered in 2017, which does seem to appear to be some sort of arrest in the helium-hydrogen cycle of the sun, and some sort of massive arrest, so, and it seems to be growing. Have you looked into that? And then the third question is, do you believe that this could be stimulating some sort of survival response in humans, like in the difference between individualism and communitarianism? Like, I mean, that gets into some deep, really survival, you know, genetic survival of the species. I mean, you know, in other words, there may not be anything to stop it.
Take a few of those. Alex, go ahead.
Well, those are some good questions. I don't know if I can answer them all, but what I can say is Newsweek came out recently and saying that maybe the decline of the Neanderthals was tied to the a past decline of the magnetic field. And they also came out with another study saying that it can happen in less than 100 years in our lifetime. That was last year. So I definitely think that we could be responding to that, this type of collapse that's taking place. And there are these cycles. There's been many guests that have talked about these long-term catastrophe cycles. I'm still studying the ancient past with regards to what was believed about the sun. And that's a side study. So I wrote 100 pages in preparation for tonight's show, over-prepared. What I'm saying is, for people, if they want to sign up on the newsletter, I'm going to publish something else probably in a few weeks after I edit it and add citations. And I'm adding various bits of information about how the ancients viewed the sun. And so I'm still determining certain things and researching certain things and sticking with what I feel confident talking about, not getting too deep in some of the controversial climate debates, but talking more about something that I do believe is grounded in science, as well as discussing things like meditation, grounding to the earth, bringing in the cosmic force. I do believe in meditation, always have. And so that is something that I do recommend. We're affected in different ways by this. And so that's about where I would answer that. There, as far as one additional thing, Messe Verde is a place in the Four Corners. And they just discovered in the last couple of years that the site that the Hopi were using has some sort of mathematical equation similar to something seen by the Greeks or earlier ancient civilizations, some sort of a mathematics used in their sun temple. So one of the questions that people are looking at, one of the answers they're trying to reach is how could that be? And so I think that America, for example, may have been an ancient civilization many, many thousands of years ago. And that may connect with that. And so on a spiritual level, I believe that I'm in Colorado and near New Mexico because of the spiritual significance of the area. Maybe even a significance in future catastrophic events in the future. Maybe this area could be safe. So,
Alex, he was talking about this massive dark spot on the sun, and there was one a couple of years ago that scientists thought could throw off some huge flares and really play havoc with us. How often do those dark spots, big ones, like this one was 75,000 miles wide, how often do some of the big ones occur on the sun?
I'm not an expert in all the mathematics of that, but there is some phenomenon that I have noted with regards to large sunspots. There was a large sunspot before Roswell, for example, in 1947. So there may be a paranormal connection with the sunspots and an increase in UFO sightings. I am convinced myself that there is a connection with certain paranormal, including increased perception. But there is a new article that also came out this month that talks about influences that can cause sunspots to erupt, like new science as to what can influence the sun to immediately wake up. And it has to do with, let's see, bring it up here. Planetary orbits may explain mystery of sun's 11-year cycle.
Hmm.
The tidal forces of Venus, Earth, and Jupiter influence the sun's 11-year cycle. And then there's other things that have been done over the years about planetary influences that can come in and cause the sun to go very active or become very active. So,
how did that late Russian scientist, Chevsky, how did he know this? How did he discover this?
Well, according to the biography information available, World War I was erupting around him. He was also involved in studying the effects of ionization. So he's the founder of heliobiology.
So he was into this.
Yeah, he was into this, and like I said, he's still being recognized. He's recognized to this day, but he wasn't when he was alive. So it looks like he did 8 years in the gulag and then 8 years in the coal mines. There were people that followed him. People may want to look this up, and I'm not interested in challenging anyone's religious beliefs. I'm just here to share information because, you know, I'm convinced we are going to be going through some heavy stuff in the 2020s, and they might as well be presented with this information because the field of mental health should be aware of it.
Oh, my God, yeah. It's going to be huge.
So I can mention this briefly because this is really important. So hospital admissions have been documented to go up. We have a couple people that followed him. The name is Professor Raymond Wheeler from the University of Kansas. And so he confirmed the data of 2,500 years of battles, wars, and peace. Now, on the slideshow's presentation, the gallery at the website, there is a chart for the last 300 years that shows where the sunspot peaks are in major developments, major wars, major battles. Key ones, the Revolutionary War. I believe that's called Sunspot Cycle 2 or 3. They start in the 1700s with their counting here in the West. 9/11 occurred during the sunspot peak. The Civil War, that period around the Carentine event, also.
Yep.
And so we do have documented history of these events, of this correlation. And so Raymond Wheeler was a part of the confirmation of this. There's a couple other names that come up as well, Edward Dewey. And briefly, like the 11-year on average solar cycle, but it ranges. Sometimes it's 8, sometimes it's 13. But each phase of that has kind of a definition to it. So I'll read this briefly. Number one, a 3-year period of minimum activity characterized by passivity. Number two, a 2-year period in which the masses begin to organize under new leaders. Three, a 3-year period of maximum excitability, revolution and war. Four, a 3-year period of gradual decrease in excitability while the masses are apathetic. So way back when, they were figuring out the general personality tone of the masses based on their studies. And without a doubt, intelligence agencies have probably been using this against us ever since.
First-time caller Rye is with us in Edwardsville, Illinois. Welcome to the program. Rye, go ahead.
Oh, buenos noches, George and Alex.
Hello there.
Hello.
Yeah, well, my first thing is I'm a sun worshiper, and I build concrete pyramids, and I paint suns on them, so I'm a big fan of the sun.
All right, great.
And second thing is, this is kind of off topic, but I wanted to get your opinion on it. Two of my favorite human beings of all times is Nikola Tesla and Edward Lee Scallion. And I really compared a lot of their life story, and they really had a lot in common. And they both knew about, Mars having water on it. And I'm kind of thinking they were both probably aliens. That's just my thought on that. And the third thing was, if there is indeed a secret world government, who do you think could possibly be the leader? Could it possibly be an alien?
Interesting questions. Well, let me address the Edward Leed Skolnick, who developed Coral Castle down in Florida, who always claimed that he knew the secrets of how the pyramids were built. I don't think he was an alien. I just think he was somebody who had incredible knowledge of the pyramids and magnetics, and he was able to build Coral Castle by himself, but he understands sound resonance and how to move blocks of stone and everything else. In terms of Tesla, what do you think, Alex? Was Tesla an alien?
No, I don't have a strong opinion on that either way. I don't think that we're alone in the universe, but I'm not necessarily going to indict him into anything. But what I can say is there is this period in which people definitely seem to have this. You talked about the potential for positive things to come out of this. It's the brilliance. It's the innovation. It's the technology. The other side of the war stuff, see, I think we're at our most powerful when we get hit by these blasts. And so if he had a transformation of consciousness, Tesla, based on information coming in, right, I don't discount the possibility that someone could have a brilliant moment of insight. And also, it wasn't just Chizhevsky. It was also Einstein, Velikovsky, others during the time of World War One that were doing this amazing research into the sun. And we are here now, 100 years later, repeating that renaissance, and that's going to continue this knowledge about the sun, how we're connected to it over the course of the next few years.
We're going to come back in just a moment with Alex and take final phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. His book, Solar Maximum, his website's linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. And don't forget his YouTube channel as well. And welcome back to Coast, Alex Ansari with us as we talk about solar maximums and solar cycles as well. And Alex, anytime there's a breaking story like this and you want to come back on, you just let us know, okay?
Well, thank you. Yeah, this is probably a good time to let people know that the Iran oil tanker explosion news seems to correlate with the geomagnetic storm of June 14th.
Interesting.
Then there's a few other geomagnetic storms in the last month. We saw a crane go down in Dallas after a freak storm came through, and it smashed through an apartment building and left hundreds of thousands of people without power. There was also a massive protest in China with 1 million people. So, yeah, there may be a place for doing updates on this. And a note to the audience, younger people that are coming up, learning statistics, there's a whole arena for people to get involved and start creating charts and showing people how these things link together.
Are these affecting these cycles, people's brains? Is that what it's doing?
Yeah, so we didn't really get into that, but I'll mention it briefly. So they found a 60% drop in brainwave activity. It happened really quickly in the Caltech study. They did in a controlled setting. And they happen in several hundred milliseconds, very quickly followed by a very quick recovery. So the idea is there may be mind control application of that, consciousness application of that. Again, we're looking at it different ways. But we're talking about that it showed that the brain appeared to be actively processing magnetic information and rejecting signals that are not, quote, natural. This has been referred to as a whole new sense beyond the sixth, which is called magnetoreception. And so the full paper, for those that want to look it up, is titled Transduction of the Geomagnetic Field as Evidenced from Alpha Band Activity in the Human Brain. And so how can this possibly be possible? It's called magnetite. Magnetite was discovered in the human brain in 1992, or that was the first time that it was spoken about. Prior to that, in the 60s, they figured out that migratory animals, pigeons, fish, they use the magnetic field to get around. And so there's one theory why some of them are dying, and it's because of the military sonar, whereas without that military sonar, less whales would be beached. So there's a metaphor for this that's also mentioned in the book Solar Revolution by a German author. Maybe we are like those whales that are disoriented through this technology. Otherwise, we would be having a more – all this is actually tied to evolution, and some say even genetic leaps of the DNA.
Okay.
And so the solar flares aren't our enemy. It's the unnatural, disharmonic technologies that are creating a situation that's not healthy.
Great work. Super great. Fairbanks, Alaska, we go. Hi, David. Take it away.
Hi, George. It's good to talk with you again. I want to say first that you have an awesome staff there at Coast to Coast, but you know that. But I wanted to let you know.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
And talk with them and talk with you, of course. And then, Alex, I just had a question for you. If you've ever read the philosopher, he was a priest, a Catholic priest, a Jesuit. His name was Teilhard de Chardin. And he believed in a cosmic connection between people and the earth. And he was a famous Jesuit. He was actually the inspiration for Father Marin in The Exorcist, because William Peter Blatty was a fan of his writings. But if you haven't heard of Teilhard de Chardin, I suggest you do, because a lot of what you're saying was in his writings. And they were from the 40s and 50s and 30s. They're controversial, but they're pretty cool. So I'll just take your answer off the air, and it's great listening.
And David, let me quickly ask you, did they admonish him? Did the church admonish him at all?
They did. Actually, that's a good question. They did at first, back in the early days, because they said, well, his writings are just too odd. They're too strange. But something happened, and I think it was, I don't know, maybe it was the influence of the Jesuits. I don't know. But eventually the Superior General talked to Rome, and Rome, because at first his writings had to remain private. They were told, the church authorities told the Superior General of the Jesuits, his writings had remained private because they were so controversial. But eventually, and this was before the 1960s, before Vatican II even, some permission came down and his writings were able to be shared, and maybe more so after Vatican II as well. But anyway, but at first, yes, the answer to your question is yes.
And he died in 1955. His first name was Pierre Teilhard de Chardin.
Yes, yes.
That's got to be him. Okay. All right. Got a few familiar at all with him, Alex?
I'll have to look that up, but one thing that I can say, so we've seen also articles about the Earth responding to the sun, like responding with a blast of its own. That was early 2012. So we also have scientific articles that maybe suggest a consciousness connection between the sun and the earth. I think that's a very interesting conversation right there, and that we're caught in the middle of it, these interesting energies. And so I think that it's possible.
He was born in 1881. He came up with what was called the Omega Point, which had to do with consciousness and the universe combined. So, you know, he was on to something.
And Velikovsky and his research on collisions and cycles is also some new material that that I'm going to be looking at, too.
Interesting. Okay, next up, let's go to Joe, Long Island, New York. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Alex. I have a two-part question and a speculation. It's interesting that you were saying about meditation affecting events off the planet and say Venus or even the sun itself, but how would I know if my meditation was actually doing that? And then with the fake news But do you think it could have branches, almost like being an octopus and going all directions and, more so even dangerous? And then my speculation would be, if the sun was, say, at 92 million miles from the sun instead of 93, would it be a degree warmer at the beach? Would it be 10 degrees? Do they have an idea of that, or they don't really know, or can they computer model that? I know we only have the one sun. It's not like Jodie Foster. She had two in her movie, Contact.
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as the first question with being able to measurably quantify effects, there's ways in which people can organize that today with way more resources than I that are able to do that. And so I would recommend that people with an interest in that, of course, there's the Global Coherence Project, Princeton University study on maybe numerical machines being affected by brainwave activity on the day of 9/11. There's a few past things that mm-hmm. are clues.
Princeton eggs, I guess.
Yeah. As far as the fake news web, that's kind of a different conversation, but it's not over. And so there's definitely a technique when we see what they do. Even when it came out that there was disinformation on Facebook, they focused on certain campaigns in key states. That's not by accident. So there isn't really a lot of good information that's really just exposing that stuff, because we're dealing with nefarious forces, frankly. And so we're not out of the woods yet. In some cases, it's good to maybe quit social media and be very careful, like, what you expose yourself to. And so that's one of the things that I try to do now more than last year and the year before, is try to steer away from social media. If I feel like writing something, I'll write something and post it on my article. But we need to start taking care of our health, mind, body, and spirit. As these technologies come in, at the very least, meditation is powerful to remember who we are, to tap into that inner knowledge, that power within. You know, trying to change the world and collective manifestation aside, we need to be able to come into center when we're dealing with other things that are trying to throw us off center.
Alex, is there an intensity to these solar events where these events are just so huge, like the 9/11s?
Oh, where we have a concentration, where you have solar peaks, but again, solar minimums are not boring. We've seen recent events, and so when it's a quiet part of the cycle and then things ramp up real quick, you can have riots all over again or protests.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's positive or negative, that's a matter of our opinion, placing judgment on the expression of that. So it's like the sun amplifies everything, simply said. So if we're already steeped in something negative, it's going to boost that. If we're doing something positive, if we're working out, there's going to be some positive results there as well. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a war for our mind, in particular, when we see an increase in sunspots, because we're at our most powerful. So something out there in this world is trying to use our instincts against us. Now, I'm not really knowing how I'm going to be able to prove that to the world. I don't think I need to. I have just set my soul free. I have suffered the last 10 years with this information. I've dealt with horrible things. This has not resulted in a positive, happy, shiny.
This has not been good for you.
This has been bad for me, all this information. I don't know what I touched upon, but I know the audience realizes I put my life on the line to even say these things. Like people I try to talk to on the street, they have no clue what I'm talking about. And so all I'm trying to do, I believe I'm stuck on a soul prison called Earth. I'm trying to set my soul free and give people clues, because I'm convinced we're going to go through this in the 2020s. And I don't want to see people get hurt. And so if we have abilities that we can harness from the power of the sun, now's the time to start leaving clues. And people can start looking at those clues and freeing themselves. Because if they don't, they can find themselves influenced by others.
Well, this incredible audience gets it, Alex.
Yeah.
They sure do. Let's go to JW in Arkansas. Welcome to the show. Hi, JW.
Hey, good evening, George.
Hi.
I am an every night listener, but a very rare caller. But the gentleman you have on tonight, I don't know if genius is the right word, but just being in touch with some things that, as a half Native American, they're really important to me. My question revolves around Nazi Germany and a symbol that they took. Now, I'm Cherokee, but my brothers to the west used to make rugs that had swastika symbols in them because it was a symbol of the sun.
Yeah, I mean, the swastika, until the Nazis took the swastika, it was a very well-known image and symbol.
And it was powerful. It was a powerful thing because the sun, all through the Native American culture, was just, it was so important because it represented life and growing and that sort of thing. But my question is, how did they corrupt that? How did they take something that meant life and turn it into something that meant evil? How did they do that? And I've researched it for since the middle 70s, and I still have not had any kind of answer that even gets close to let me understand that. And I'm hoping that Alex, who is a fantastic program, by the way, and Alex, I'll be looking at your work. But my goodness, how did they do that?
It was by association, Alex. What they did is they took this symbol. Mm-hmm. That was not negative by any means. And once the Nazis took over and started using it as their logo, basically, they corrupted it, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I see how Hollywood and pop culture capitalizes on solar deity, even solar hero, maybe mythos that's embedded within our collective consciousness. I see that with the new Marvel movies and all the ads for that. It's just obvious solar symbolism. And so our world is filled with it. And I think there's a lot of bad energy that comes with people that use these sun symbols for destruction. So that's actually an idea that I'm thinking about more of. I think that we're in a period in time in which elements of history are mirroring themselves, including the misuse of certain symbols. It's happening again. There's a rise in interest in the cult, and we have to work to protect ourselves. It's a pretty important issue.
Alex Ansari with us. His book is called Solar Maximum. We didn't talk about where you can get your book, Alex.
So that could be found at Amazon. There's a link at otbtv.net. I've been living off the grid for a couple of years. One of the things that I'd like to do is next work on an autobiography, how I came to all of my ideas, and looking at the possibility of travel or moving if the right opportunities present themselves.
Where would you go?
I'd like to see elements of America before the 5G rollout, maybe Northern California. I feel that I need to do some healing, and I need to take the information to the next level, and that's the goal. And so a lot of things that came up tonight from the audience, these are levels of research that can keep me busy the rest of this lifetime, and I'm looking forward to it.
Let's squeeze in one more quick call. Eric's with us in Wisconsin. Go ahead, Eric.
Hi, Alex.
Hey, Eric.
I'm your supporter on your Patreon from Wisconsin. So, yeah, you are so happy to hear you on coast to coast, and you are definitely setting the airwaves on fire.
Wow! Okay. Congratulations for making it on a coast to coast as a caller. That's a pretty amazing feat. Thank you for calling in.
Oh yeah. So, yeah, the question that I have for you is: have you tried to correlate the solar cycles with, like, say, some other well-known secular cycle, such as the Strauss House cyclical?
1 minute to go, Alex.
No, if you can send me a link on that, I'll take a look, and I will continue adding information and documentation and new studies to solarmaxnews.com.
Thanks, Eric. Wish we had more time, but the clock is ticking. But seriously, Alex, you've done a great job, and whenever there's breaking news that fits your expertise, give us a call and come back to us and pop on the air. We do a lot of news segments where we do quick interviews with specialized guests on breaking stories. You'd be perfect for that.
That's a great idea. Thank you.
Okay, and give out your favorite websites again, and then how can people see you on YouTube?
Okay, so they can look me up on YouTube, youtube.com/OTBTV news, and also OTBTV.net. YouTube's been kind of rough to a lot of us, so there's a Patreon page. I'm going to keep going regardless and be focusing more on the solar sciences.
Super. Thanks, Alex. You take care. Up next, investigative mythologist William Henry joins us. We're going to be talking about a lot of subjects with William. And, of course, the last hour, it's interactive. We take your calls.